We're going to go to our next item. Mr. Barnard is going to lead us with his presenters. This is the Urban and Community Forestry Assistance Program and Oregon Community Trees. So Josh, do you want to take it away?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Chair Kelly, members of the board, State Forester Hirsch. My name is Josh Barnard, Interim Division Chief for the Private Forest Division. I would like to introduce the next presentation by the Oregon Department of Forestry's Urban and Community Assistance Program staff, Urban and Community Forestry Assistance Program Updates. The presenters will be Kristen Ramstead, who has worked in the department's Urban and Forestry Program for nearly 30 years. Over the last 4 years, she has been Program Manager. Katie Lompa has worked for the Urban Forestry Program for over 23 years, and since 2018 has served as a statewide community assistance forester. Samantha Wolf will also be joining us today and is the current president of Oregon Community Trees, or OCT, which serves as the state's Urban and Community Forestry Advisory Council. Oregon Community Trees works collaboratively with the Urban Forestry Program. Samantha's tenure as OCT president started in January 2019. At this point, I'd like to mention that Oregon's Urban and Community Forestry Program staff are the longest serving staff in a state urban forestry program in the U.S. Kristen and Katie's total combined years with Urban Forestry Program is 53 years. Today, we'll provide you an update on the work of the Urban Community Program over the last year, talk about the tree plotter inventory system, hear from Oregon Community Trees, and the transition of staff in the coming year. I'll now turn it over to Kristen Ramstead.
Hey, let me get myself organized here. Can you see my screen yet?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Well, good morning, Chair Kelly, members of the Board of Forestry, Acting State Forester Hirsch, soon to be State Forester Mukumoto. My name is Kristen Ramstad, and I manage the department's Urban and Community Forestry Assistance Program. Before I begin, I'd like to say a few words about the art in this photograph. This mural was painted by the artist Natalia Rock for a town in Poland that in 2013 was celebrating Polish folk legends. This legend of giants mural refers to the giants in Polish folklore who were feared by the local people because they destroyed the area's forests and trees and laid waste to nature in general. Eventually, according to the legends, the giants learned from human children to take care of the nature around them. Take what you will from this story. I thought it was a good place to start this presentation. For 30 years, let me just get to my other screen here. Sorry about that. For 30 years, the Urban and Community Forestry Assistance Program has been teaching cities how to take care of their trees within city limits and sometimes within urban growth boundaries. We have spent most of this time meeting with and assisting city staff, conducting best management practices workshops, talking to city councilors, planting trees with city residents, reaching out to city tree boards, working with nonprofits, and partnering with universities, all in the service of promoting sustainable, healthy tree canopy in Oregon cities. Our work helps communities build the capacity to manage the trees as sustainably, their city's trees as sustainably as possible. We don't tell them what they must do. We help them define and execute their own urban forestry goals. Inside of ODF, we are the tiniest of programs. Outside of ODF, we interact with many groups, partners, businesses, and educators who rely on the quality of our assistance. Just as important, they keep us informed of urban forestry efforts around the state. When federal funding enabled states to start urban forestry programs in 1991, the ODF leaders at the time did so because of the opportunity to reach elected officials, city staff, urban residents, and other groups that were unfamiliar with the work of ODF. So last year, we focused on the public health benefits trees bring to cities and the disparities of urban tree canopy with guests Dr. Jeff Donovan from the U.S. Forest Service and Dr. Vivek Chandas from Portland State University. At this meeting, I will be giving you an update on the urban forestry program, show you some potential trends in urban forestry across the US and Oregon, and talk about some changes coming to the program. Later in this presentation, I'll be joined by Katie Lampa and Samantha Wolf. So let's get on with talking about some program highlights. In March, the governor proclaimed April as Arbor Month. Arbor Month is important for our work because it helps our target audiences focus and reflect on the value of trees in their communities. Previously, as you may know, Oregon had a designated Arbor Week, but that was rescinded in 2012. However, even when we had Oregon Arbor Week, there was no ongoing annual proclamation by the governor. Next, the Urban Forestry Program staff made 350 assists this past year to 185 unique entities ranging from cities to schools to country to counties to answering tree questions from the public. An assist is any time the urban forestry staff provides technical, educational, or when we have it, financial assistance to a community, school, nonprofit, or other entity. Not surprisingly, most of these assists over the past year have been virtual, as in Zoom meetings and webinars, or informational via email. Although these numbers are similar to past year's assists, we have not been able to connect in person very well with the audiences we serve. Urban forestry is a high connection field. The more we can meet with people on site or in person, the more effective our outreach is. Next, despite the pandemic, we celebrated our largest number of tree cities, 69. The number of Oregon's Tree City USAs is a key indicator for our efforts because it requires annual reporting and certification by the cities that are participating in the program. So we know they are maintaining and building their urban forestry programs. According to a recent study by the Arbor Day Foundation and the Forest Service, tree cities spend much more on staff salaries and tree care than non-tree cities. Also, because all tree cities have tree ordinances and other attributes of urban forestry programs, we know they are better prepared than non-tree cities for the population and climate pressures to come. Another important aspect of the Tree City USA program is that we ask our tree cities to self-report annually on the number of trees they plant, prune, and remove. To give you a sense of their efforts, last year altogether, Oregon 69 tree cities reported that they planted more than 61,000 trees, pruned almost 55,000 trees, and removed around 12,000 trees. In other words, they established or took care of over 116,000 trees and removed approximately one-tenth of that number. I've included the same stats from 2019 and 2018 in the table. You can see it is not unusual for our tree cities to plant and care for far more trees than they remove. Additionally, in 2020, Oregon's Tree City USAs reported over 30,000 volunteer hours in the service of their community forests. Another highlight is that along with Oregon Community Trees, we hosted our first virtual urban forestry conference, and it was well attended. Our guest, Samantha Wolf, will be saying more about this. Next, over the summer of 2021, both program staff were able to participate in an intensive environmental justice training. We met in small groups with participants from cities and nonprofit groups nationwide, completed homework, and learned a lot. The training helped us to think strategically about assisting underserved areas and eliminating the obstacles that deter underrepresented groups from participating in our educational events. Urban forestry and arboriculture offer tremendous place-based employment opportunities at every level, from technicians to managers throughout the USA, and especially in the Pacific Northwest, so it behooves us to spread the word about this field. Let's see. Another highlight was that in March this past year, we were invited by the Eastern Oregon Climate Change Coalition to present a webinar on trees in a climate of change. This enabled us to think and present deeply about how cities can prepare for climate change. Also, I want to say that our program newsletter is reaching more people than ever. Our webpage is regularly updated, and many messages about urban forestry have been posted on ODF social media thanks to the efforts of the public affairs staff, Julie Waters and Jim Gersbach. Our newsletter and social media posts have been an important component in keeping people aware of the work that we have been doing during the pandemic. I also want to appreciate ODF's GIS experts, Carl Swanson and Michael Lathrop, who created an annually update the map of Oregon's Tree City USAs and who have helped us with our story maps, which are also important items and links on our webpage. Finally, we have doubled the number of communities engaged with our tree plotter inventory project. We now have approximately 14 cities that have expressed an interest in using tree plotter inventory or are willing to share their existing inventory data to help the statewide urban tree database. It's not a lot, but interest is increasing. Tree plotter inventory, or TPI, is an important tool for our program, as Katie Lampa will explain in the next few slides. Katie, are you ready?
Can you change the slide, Kristen?
Yes, I can. I can
see. Good morning. My name is Katie Lampa, and I'm the ODF. Excuse me.
Oh, sorry. Hang on.
Okay. I'm the ODF, Urban and Community Forestry Assistant Programs Community Assistance Forester. In the next few minutes, I will share with you a few of the ways Oregon Tree Plotter Inventory, or Oregon TPI, can and is being used by ODF and by cities in Oregon. The software is free to cities, web-based, and data can be collected out in the field offline from a smartphone or tablet. It allows cities to collect as few or as much data points as they need. They can select to enter only a tree's location, species, size, and condition, or can include larger numbers of data points, including site characteristics, photos, and observations regarding tree damage. This information, used alone or in conjunction with canopy and demographic analysis data, can help cities manage and plan for improving their community forests. It gives them a clearer sense of age and species diversity and distribution, species site compatibility, land use issues, and much more. So first, let's look at the ODF Oregon TPI landing page. On the right is a list of cities that are at different stages of interest using Oregon TPI. You'll also see a few ODF projects are listed here. Currently, not all on this list have trees in the system. For example, two of Oregon's larger cities are working on resolving internal issues. And once they do, Eugene's and Portland's hundreds of thousands of trees will be part of the data. On the left, you can see the monetary value of the environmental benefits the current inventory trees provide. Let's now zoom in to learn more about one city's eco-benefits being received from trees they've inventoried using Oregon TPI. Next slide. It's important for a city to know the benefits they receive from its trees. Becoming more aware empowers communities to improve human health, property values, and quality of life through informed urban forestry management plan actions. The city of Albany recently inventoried more than 8,000 trees. And you can see a partial list of these trees on the right. To the left, you see these trees are providing nearly $811,000 in annual environmental benefits. To determine annual monetary values of stormwater prevention, property, energy savings, air quality, and carbon benefits, Oregon TPI needs data points on tree species, its diameter, and the land use category of the tree's location. The software can analyze the eco-benefits of the entire urban forest, as well as separate areas and aspects of an urban forest. iTree research is used to reach a dollar amount, and iTree is a peer-reviewed software suite from the USDA Forest Service that provides analysis and benefit assessment tools for urban and rural forestry. Next, let's look at another tool. Next slide. Oregon TPI has a feature called Tree Tours. With this tool, a city or the ODF-UCF program can target and specify trees in the system for special focus. What you see on this slide are the components of a tour of Oregon's peace trees that is being created by us. We're entering photos, location, tree species to create a virtual tour that can be used to help promote the use of Oregon TPI. A city may create a tree tour showing existing trees that are growing around town that are listed on their approved tree list to encourage the planting of those tree species. City staff might create a tree tour of specific trees of concern to show the tree board or city council when discussing what actions will be taken on the trees. Or a city could offer a student, maybe perhaps an Eagle Scout, a project to create a tree walk of the city's significant trees for the community to enjoy. Next slide, please. A tree inventory is the foundation or prerequisite in planning for and making sound urban forestry management decisions. And the ODF-UCF program is hopeful for Oregon TPI will become more widely used across the state. When that time comes, it has the potential to assist cities and the state to improve storm response and emergency preparedness for climate extremes and insect invasions. With Oregon TPI, trees can be monitored over time, assisting with determining what tree species are more resilient than others in specific situations, or potential costs of an invasive insect infestation can be analyzed. Another way the software can be used is to become aware of potential tree planting sites, including sites in underserved neighborhoods and communities. In turn, neighborhoods, organizations, and agencies can then work together to communicate the benefit of trees, find funding, and plant trees in these sites to grow tree canopy where it's desperately needed. My last example of how Oregon TPI can assist us all is through graphically reporting inventory findings to decision makers and the community. Communicating the environmental benefits of trees could potentially inform carbon and climate policy. This is occurring in Grants Pass, where Oregon TPI inventory data is being used by city leaders and staff who are engaged in local climate change planning. The limitations of our on-site outreach to cities over the past 18 months initially took some of the wind out of the Oregon TPI project sails, if you will. But interest is increasing, as Kristen had mentioned. As more cities conduct tree inventories and use the data to improve their urban forestry planning, we're confident that they will see progress in meeting their community forest visions and goals. We believe in Oregon TPI and its potential to optimize how the ODF-UCF program can support communities of all sizes, both rural and urban, in achieving sustainable urban forest management. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. And Sam, are you with us?
I am ready. Do you have my slides ready?
I do. Are you ready?
I am ready. Thank you, Kristen and Katie, and thank you, ODF Board Forestry. I am Samantha Wolf. I am the president of Oregon Community Trees, which is a 501c3 nonprofit, and I live in Oregon City. So OCT is entirely run by volunteers, and our mission is to promote healthy urban and community forests through leadership, education, awareness, and advocacy. We have an active 20-member board of directors that represent cities, businesses, agencies, institutions, education, and community organizations from all over the state. OCT serves as an urban and community forestry advisory board to ODF, UCF program. And in 1990, the Farm Bill enabled the formation of the UCF programs across the nation. And the advisory council was a requirement. So we are required to designate an advisory council comprised of urban forestry stakeholders to serve and advise the program. Next slide, please. So OCT has three main roles in urban forestry for Oregon. First is education. In collaboration with the UCF program staff, we train, educate the next generation of urban forestry leaders. We provide unique cross-discipline educational opportunities for city staff from the state by hosting tours, nationally recognized conference once a year, and we also host workshops. When we were in person, we would host workshops. So hosted by OCT, ODF, and the USDA Forest Service, we have provided an annual conference on urban and community forestry topics. And this has occurred annually for 30 years in person until recently. So we were successfully able to host a virtual conference that was well attended on, and this year's theme was Waterwise Community Forests and Strategies for the Future. Very popular and interesting topic to all of our attendees. Conference sponsorships cover the cost of conference costs, as well as any speaker fees for the presenters. And it also helps to support the annual operations and activities of OCT's annual work. So we also use the income from our conference to provide a matching funds to a grant that comes from OCT's, from UCF's program to provide out-of-state conference attendance. So we provide registration and per diem and travel costs for our members to travel out of state and attend other conferences for improving their educational opportunities. So that way they can participate in OCT, continue their professional education at no cost to themselves. Next slide, please. So, sorry, go back one more time. Sorry, that was the wrong thing to say. Thank you. So the second role is community awareness and community support. So OCT actively supports the UCF program at ODF and Oregon 69 Tree Cities USAs by championing community-based tree planting activities, boosting Arbor Day engagements. We provide grants for Tree City USAs to boost their engagement opportunities and increase community awareness and engagement with tree planting, planting of other understory plants, and educational opportunities for their youth. Over the past 6 to 7 years, OCT has awarded nearly $20,000 to dozens of communities across the state. And additionally, directors from OCT help with these Arbor Day events. So we go and we assist, we provide recognition from the OCT as well. And we are also a program of an awards program where we are able to receive recognition and nominations from the communities to recognize the leaders and exceptional advocates within their communities that promote and advocate for urban forestry where they live. And the third role is advocacy and leadership. So Oregon Arbor Month proclamation was signed and read by Governor Brown in February, was drafted in collaboration with OCT and the ODF urban forestry staff and the state forester. So that was a collaboration project that was successful to help promote awareness. OCT provides board members ongoing leadership training. So in addition to educational opportunities, we also provide them leadership opportunities within the board to chair committees, to organize events, to plan education workshops and the like, which is a way to help grow their experience and skills in urban forestry. OCT is a member of the Alliance for Community Trees, which is a coalition of organizations across the country. And this past summer, several OCT directors and ODF forestry staff participated in an ACT hosted environmental justice training. And so we will strategize with this input of information to improve ODF and OCT's practices that can be more support to underserved and marginalized communities within Oregon. And the last example of OCT collaboration is the Green Legacy and Hiroshima Peace Tree Project. Multiple OCT directors worked with the One Sunny Day Initiative to germinate and distribute peace trees produced from trees that survived the Hiroshima bombing in Japan. And so when those trees were germinated and grown, we were ready to plant. OCT worked closely with the ODF urban forestry staff to find these trees permanent planting sites in cities throughout Oregon. And these trees serve as symbols of peace and resilience, which are two things we could certainly use more of these days. Okay, now next slide. Thank you. All right. So thank you. So I will close by saying that OCT is very lucky to have worked with the ODF urban forestry staff for the last 30 years. And Kristen and Katie in particular, combined, they have over 50 years at ODF forestry. They provide OCT with insight and perspective and guidance, and that we in turn provide the same to them. So in turn, OCT supports them in their program work. We also provide many hands to help them do the work. Kristen and Katie are highly respected in Oregon and across the nation. They are highly skilled and urban forestry professionals. They are exceptional public servants. OCT has been fortunate to have such engaged, knowledgeable, and supportive public servants that boost community forestry and also help grow and engage and teach OCT how to be better promoting the same. So our aligned goals help each other. So our relationship is truly unique in that ultimately we're not only colleagues and partners, but we're good friends and collaborators. We work well together and we're very happy to be in each other's company. So we are very interested to work with ODF in their successor. So as Kristen and Katie anticipate their retirement soon, OCT is very interested in the successors in ODF program who exhibit similar engagement and support OCT and community forestry going forward. So I know that the department faces many challenges, but you can count on OCT to continue championing the value of trees and urban forestry across the state. We are small but mighty, like Kristen said. You can see a legacy on a shady street in community green spaces, and I'm sure even in your own hometown. So thank you for allowing me to join you today.
Well, thank you, Sam. Thank you, Katie. Okay. So let's look at some of the annual program data that we compile for the Forest Service and some of the trends we are seeing. But first, this deserves a little explanation. When the Forest Service started collecting urban forestry data from urban forestry programs across the USA, for every state, they determined the population of each state that could benefit from urban forestry outreach. In other words, with this specific measure, the Forest Service was focusing on mostly urban and smaller community residents, not on rural populations. In Oregon, after the 2010 census, the Forest Service determined this target population in Oregon to be around 3 million people, which is slightly more than 3/4 of Oregon's 2010 population. Every time urban forestry program staff assists a city's urban forestry efforts through providing technical assistance or education or whatever, the Forest Service considers that our assistance has the potential to affect the entire population of that city. At the end of the federal fiscal year, we add up the populations of all the cities we have assisted that year to report to the Forest Service. The federal funding of the urban forestry program is actually based in part on the amount of the state urban populations receiving urban forestry assistance. This program relies on this funding because it has never received funding at the state level. What this graph shows is that over the past few years, as urban forestry staff was reduced from 3 staff to 2 at the end of 2017, not surprisingly, the amount of urban population we have been able to reach has diminished. We are still reaching about 90% of the state's overall urban population, and that sounds pretty good, right? However, the more subtle message is that because of the federal funding formula and with fewer urban forestry program staff, we are actually incentivized to assist the larger cities over the smaller ones. This graph shows an incremental lessening of assistance to smaller communities due to our reduced capacity. However, these smaller towns are the ones that could probably use our help the most. Scroll here. As I mentioned earlier, the focus of the Urban and Community Forestry Program is about building capacity in cities to sustainably manage their city trees. To this end, the Forest Service also asks us to report on 4 key indicators of our city's urban forestry management capacity. These indicators include whether cities have urban forestry management plans, trained urban forestry staff, tree ordinances, and tree advisory boards. In the late 90s and early 2000s, the Urban Forestry Program was able to offer grants that facilitated cities' efforts in implementing tree ordinances, plans, and inventories. Due to budget reductions, however, this grant program ended in 2007. 4 years ago, we knew these data were tremendously out of date, so we began to contact communities to learn what urban forestry elements they still had. This graph shows the results of urban forestry program staff annually updating the urban forestry data over the past 4 years. As you can see, except for a few new tree boards, probably going along with our new Tree City USAs, the number of cities actively using management plans, employing trained urban forestry staff, and implementing tree ordinances has declined. What we also see here is the urban forestry program indicators in 2018, reflecting the vestiges of a time when cities received grants from us to help them implement these capacity building elements. When cities receive financial urban forestry assistance and are supported in their efforts by trained staff, they engage with urban forestry more fully. Trouble with my operations here. Okay, so now that you've seen some urban forestry program trends, let's turn to some population and housing trends in Oregon. This is a map from the 2020 U.S. Census website showing the percent population change in Oregon counties over the last 10 years. Overall, Oregon's population has grown by more than 10%. The darker gray areas indicate 10% growth or more. And look at Deschutes County right there in the middle at 25%. When an urban forester hears about rapidly increasing population and housing growth, we think about what it means for urban tree canopy. Huge increases in development pressure in urban growth boundaries, tree canopy being removed from lands around cities, changes in topography, soil, urban heat islands, warmer streams, fewer acres intercepting rainfall, et cetera. I know most of us have observed these changes as we travel around our state. Keeping in mind those areas of growth, let's look at another indicator based on the recent census data. The darker areas on this map show the areas of the state where available housing units have been few over the past decade. The darkest areas indicate that at least 90% of available housing is occupied. While population growth may not be so much of a factor in Malheur or Douglas counties, most of the darker areas here indicate the same counties that have been experiencing high population growth in the previous slide. My point is this: there's every reason to believe Oregon's urban and suburban populations will continue to grow. Wherever new housing is needed, cities will be pressured not only to expand housing, but also all the amenities that go along with growth. In our work, with the assistance and tools we offer, we try to help cities get ahead of some of these pressures by thinking about how they will preserve existing trees and how they will successfully establish new tree canopy that contributes to their town's livability. So in these last four slides, I've tried to summarize some of the trends we are seeing in urban forestry program outreach, and I also wanted to show the strong population growth and housing pressures over the past decade in Oregon. What I haven't discussed yet are the additional pressures that climate change will bring to city trees, mostly in the form of extreme weather, as we have seen recently. The best thing to help urban tree canopies survive climate change are cities with well-managed, proactive urban forestry programs. So I hope I've conveyed that urban forestry outreach and support has never been needed more than it is now and will be in the future. However, the urban forestry program simply will not be able to optimally meet these needs with its current capacity. Okay, so you may be wondering what we can do about this situation. How can ODF support increased efforts to help Oregon's trees meet the challenges of growth? How can cities prepare for climate change, address historic inequity issues, and maybe even sequester a little carbon in the process? Well, I wonder about that too. First, let me acknowledge that many of Oregon's larger cities are already taking steps to address climate change. Portland, Eugene, Salem, and several more cities are adopting climate change plans that include increasing canopy in underserved areas. And as Katie noted earlier, the city of Grants Pass is using its tree inventory data to help shape climate change policy there. On Monday, the Sustainable Forestry Initiative, which is a national coalition of high-level urban forestry aligned partners, released a draft of its new urban and community forestry sustainability standard. It is based on three key principles. Urban forests and trees are vital for community well-being, health, resiliency, and sustainability, and that they require proper planning, care, and management to optimize benefits and minimize risks. They also depend upon understanding, awareness, appreciation, and engagement from people to thrive in communities. Next, urban forests and trees and their associated benefits should be accessible and available to all. And finally, urban forests and trees are nature-based solutions to pressing issues, and they are essential green infrastructure. A standard like this is important because it raises awareness among our elected officials and community leaders across the nation, as well as across the state. It sets up a framework for policies and planning, as well as targeted private and public funding. Most of all, it is predicated on the need to build the capacity of our cities to confront climate change with better management of their urban and community forests. I also sense that this standard will inform the work of the urban forestry program in the future as it strives to meet the goals of the department's climate change and carbon plan you will be discussing later. At this point, I'd like to clarify some of the nuances between talking about climate change and carbon benefits in urban forestry. Not all climate mitigation strategies in urban forestry result in carbon benefits, but many do. Looking at the bigger picture, urban forestry can play a role in many cities to both mitigate the effects of climate change and to optimize carbon capture in urban forests. There are three key components to keep in mind. First is that in urban areas with forest canopy, such as undeveloped parks and open space, carbon is held above and below ground, and when possible, should be left intact. Two, more trees can and should be planted in cities for both carbon sequestration and environmental justice purposes. And three, by developing networks of wood producers, users, markets, and trees, the trees removed from urban forests are utilized as an asset instead of waste, since trees can be milled and processed so that their carbon does not return to the atmosphere as quickly. To this end, over the last year, the city of Eugene has participated in an exciting pilot program that looks at the benefits accrued through the entire lifespan of urban trees. With a small startup called Cadmium Carbon, the city of Eugene explored how to create a full life cycle management program for its urban trees. They focused on four key stages of a regenerative reforestation hub model, which I would like to see replicated elsewhere across Oregon. These stages included their forest management and data collection, their urban wood salvage, connecting urban wood to the market as the third strategy, and fourth, the strategies for canopy retention. This project was instrumental in helping the City of Eugene focus on the practical inefficiencies of their current urban forestry program, come up with some solutions to those deficiencies, and think about how to make things work in the future, such as establishing a unified asset management system for city tree data, creating a central sort yard for city logs, and aligning reforestation efforts to modern financing mechanisms. When talking about increasing tree canopy in underserved areas, the first reaction is to plant trees. Without proper planning, focus, and care, however, many tree planting efforts notoriously underperform in cities. Although planting trees is important, especially in historically marginalized areas, far more information and far more outreach and education are needed to increase city engagement and urban forestry capacity in most Oregon cities. Also, I should add here, community tree planting efforts must be led by the community residents themselves and is part of a good city urban forest, and part of a good city urban forestry program entails facilitating community tree planting efforts. All this said, it is tempting to think that just because some Oregon cities are making urban forestry climate change plans, that the same can be said for Oregon's smaller cities and towns. If funding were to become available for urban forestry, such as through another climate change program option package or POP, grants or other sources, it should first focus on acquiring good statewide tree canopy data and using it to influence local and state decision makers. Along with our tree plotter inventory software, there are several free as well as proprietary software that can assess urban tree canopy and pair it with demographic data as these images show here. These resources should and could be made available to all Oregon cities to optimize tree retention and planting in the underserved areas of their cities. Just as important is the mentorship, education, and guidance needed for Oregon cities to fully prepare for the changes that are coming to their urban forests, both through development pressures as well as through climate change. This is where the work of the department's urban forestry program staff and the efforts of Oregon Community Trees come in. Funding that would increase ODF's urban forestry program staff would result in more effective outreach to cities. It would help cities create a vision and then reach a vision on how to retain, grow, and recycle their urban trees. The focus of this technical assistance and capacity building could specifically be designed for optimizing carbon capture in cities, helping cities identify and avoid development in areas where the carbon value is highest, assisting cities with planting and retaining trees, maybe through a grant program, and helping cities develop the capacity to make urban wood removal into a community asset. So this is the state of the urban and community forestry program at the end of 2021 and what we think the future holds. Now it is almost time to hand it all over to a new urban forestry team. Katie and I will both be retiring in the first half of 2022. We've loved this work. We've enjoyed working for ODF, but we now both feel it's time for a change. Although the new urban forestry staff will be inheriting nearly 70 tree cities, a supportive and hardworking state urban forestry council, a bump up in Forest Service funding, and decades of goodwill, in some ways, the program will be like its early years. Soon, the new urban forestry team will begin to visit cities, meet with groups, and make new connections. Much of the city staff that Katie and I have known over the last couple of decades have or are planning to retire just as we are. So there's a whole new generation of public works, planning, and park staff and city councilors that have yet to learn about what the ODF Urban Forestry Program offers. To help with the transition after I retire, I plan to stick around for a couple of months working part-time. I know there will be some unfinished projects to attend to. And I also know that the new urban forestry team will be well supported by Oregon Community Trees, and the new urban forestry staff will be excited to work with this changing and evolving agency. And they will be up to taking on Oregon's urban forestry thrills and challenges in the years ahead. So thank you very much for your attention. Do you have any questions for Katie, Sam, or me?
Okay, thank you, Kristen, Katie. I'm sure ODF is going to miss you guys. And now I've got TPI to add to my acronyms that I have to try to get into my noggin. And with that, we're just a little bit behind schedules, but if board members have any questions, now is the time. It looks like Brenda, got your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Jim. Brenda McComb for the record. First of all, thanks for all the hard work that you've done to address urban forests and all the amenities that go along with them. You've done a great job, especially with such a small staff. It seems to me that given the education focus and all of the work that could be done, I'm wondering if there has been a collaboration with the faculty and staff at Oregon State University's graduate certificate in urban forestry?
Indeed, there has, Dr. McComb. So my predecessor was Paul Reese, and he left this program to, he started the graduate certificate program at OSU when he was still working in this program. And then when he retired, he has continued to develop and create that program. And we do work very closely with them and with OSU Extension staff as well. We have a Oregon Community Trees director, Lauren Grand, who represents OSU Extension. And Paul and I are in touch regularly. We talk about his not only his program, but his students that are also able and interested in doing urban forestry projects with us.
Great, thank you.
Other questions, comments from board members?
Hey Jim, I have a question, if okay.
Okay, Chandra Ferrari, go ahead.
For the record, Chandra Ferrari, and thank you for the presentation. Just a quick question. So it seems like, you know, clearly capacity is an issue, both in terms of continuing to be able to provide technical resources, and that kind of is, you know, making sure that we're keeping your shop well-funded and possibly even able to expand it at some point. And then you have the other bucket that seems to be more in the helping cities implement some of these planning tools. And there was a funding source at some point that I didn't catch that seemed to help them along, and then that got ceased. And I'm just curious where that funding source was previously and where you see the best options for a funding source for those actions moving forward.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Ferrari. So the funding source originally, when the program was originally started in 1991, the program funded not only program staff, but also grant programs. There was enough money in the program to fund grant programs. And so when Nationwide Urban Forestry went through some budget cuts, the first thing that we had to eliminate from, we decided to eliminate from the program in order to maintain staff, was the grant program. And so, as I mentioned earlier, we've had a slight bump up in federal funding over the past year. It's not quite enough to launch the same type of program that we had in the past, but it will go primarily to support possibly increasing the community assistance forester salary to a full-time salary. Currently, it is mostly a 1.75 FTE, and it will go to support our Oregon DPI costs. And then after that, hopefully we can put some out there for grants.
Has there been state support for grants
There's never been state support for urban forestry or for grants.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, any other board member questions? Not hearing any. Thank you very much for this presentation. And we are a little bit behind now. We were a tiny bit behind, but we've spent more time on this than we had planned. So we are ready for a morning break, but we'll have to cut it back to 10 minutes instead of the scheduled 15. So right now we can adjourn and be back at 9:50. And so we are adjourned.